That's just nowhere found in Scripture. I have most often found that God will lead us to places where we absolutely don't have a clue what to do, nor how we're going to endure, nor how we're going to make it through, nor how He could be glorified in it. We don't understand it. We don't like it. It's not comfortable. It is nowhere near where I want to be and nowhere near my capability to get through it. That's just the God we serve. He is a God who is able, but He wants us to know that He is able. Now, I will tell you, He will never lead you somewhere that He will forsake you. He will never take you into a position or a place where He will not walk with you through it. He will always be there. Jesus tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is our stronghold. He is our hiding place. He is the one that we can always go to. He is faithful and He is strong. He is faithful and He is always present. But that doesn't mean that we can handle things without Him. And that's the problem, is that we think, well, I can do this. I've just got to buckle down. I've got to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I've got to get my big boy pants on or my big girl pants on, and I've just got to deal with it. And that's when we become overwhelmed. That's when we lose sight of God, and we become just absolutely crushed by the weight of the circumstances that we face. God has not led us to that place for that purpose. God wants us to see that we can depend on Him, but that we are dependent upon Him. And He will take care. He will be faithful. He will guide us. So what do you do when you just don't know what to do? That's what we're talking about. And we've been looking at Psalm 40, and we've been trying to find some nuggets there, some things that we can put into application in our life to help us get through those most difficult days, those most difficult circumstances, those situations that are well beyond our capability, way beyond our understanding, and we're in that place where we're easily could be overwhelmed. And as we begin to read through Psalm 40, we were reminded that, David is the one that wrote this, and David understands being overwhelmed. David understands when all the world is against you. David understands when people are trying to kill you for no reason, and he is giving us his heart and his insight, and from that we can see what we can do also when life is overwhelming. The first thing we said that in our first series, our first part of this series, was, first of all, we draw near to God. That very first verse, I waited patiently on the Lord. That word waited patiently, I waited intently, I diligently expected God to do something. I drew near to the Lord. And when we draw near to God, we draw near in confession. Confession is simply agreeing with God. We confess that we're sinners. We confess that we're incapable. We confess that these circumstances are more than I can handle. It's more than I can bear. It's more than I can carry. It's more than I can understand. We confess our lack of ability. We confess our sin. We confess the things that are known to us. And we draw near to God. And we also confess who God is. That He is faithful, that He is all-powerful. We draw near to Him because He is present, He is willing, He is looking for us to come. He wants us to come. But we also confess that we're dependent. God, we cannot make this without You. God, we cannot understand it without You. God, we cannot see the light at the end of this very long tunnel. So we draw near to Him, we wait patiently on Him, but that's simply confessing who He is. The second thing we looked at was to trust Him. Verse 4 says, how blessed is the man who made the Lord his trust. What does it mean to trust God? It's talking about faith. But faith that's just pronounced isn't really faith. It's faith is acted upon. It trust means that we're gonna do what He says. We trust in God's ways. Isaiah 55 tells us, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. We've got to trust that God's ways are always right. And as we draw near to Him through Scripture and prayer and just seeking after Him, we've got to trust that what He tells us through His Word, through the presence of His Holy Spirit, God will guide us if we will acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He'll make our paths straight. So we trust His ways. We trust His process. We put those things into practice that we already know to be true. We live on the things that we confess. We walk out our faith, and then we trust God's timing. But hey, it's not always going to work out like we want, how we want, and when we want. But trusting that God is always right, and His timing is perfect, and He is faithful and just, we trust God. We walk and acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He'll guide our paths. He'll make our paths straight. Well, today I want us to look at probably one of the most difficult aspects of waiting on the Lord. One of the most difficult things to do when we just don't know what to do. But it's also one of the most important. We draw near to God, we trust His timing, but we guard against negativity. It's very easy, it's very natural for us when things aren't going like we think they should, when God's not doing things like we think He should or when we think He should, when the situation doesn't seem to be working out and I'm trying to be faithful and it just seems like it's still just getting to be bigger and bigger mess, the hardest thing to do is not become discouraged. You know, we talk about faith and the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And we always talk about the size of our faith. I need a bigger faith, a bigger faith. And one of those truths or one of the ways of looking at that passage where it says that have you such little faith, having a big faith, having the right kind of faith is not just having a large-sized faith, but having a faith that lasts a long time. We so quickly give up. We get discouraged. We start looking at the negative and focusing on the negative of things. And it begins to overwhelm us. And we begin to think, well, God's not listening. God doesn't care. And this situation's getting worse and worse. And I don't see how it's going to work. And we begin to focus on the negative aspect of our problem, of our situation, of our circumstances, of our relationship, or whatever it is that we're dealing with, whatever it is that we're struggling with. God says that, look, you need to have a long-lasting faith. You need to be in this for the long haul. And the way we do that is we guard our hearts against negativity. If you will, let's look at verses 9 through 11. It says, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hidden your I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that you are a God who draws near to us. You are a God who told us that in this life we're going to have trouble, but not to be afraid, for you have overcome the world. And so, God, I'm so thankful that you told us ahead of time, but you also tell us how we are to live when life seems overwhelming, when our circumstances are just bigger than we can face. God, when sickness and disease has entered into our life or the life of a loved one, when death has taken someone we so greatly love and care for, when families, relationships are falling apart, and God, we don't see how you can be honored in any situation or any way in this circumstance. God, I pray that today, Lord, we would be encouraged by your word. That God, we would draw near to you. God, we would trust you. But God, we'd also guard our heart against the whispers of negativity. God, we wouldn't let the unknown dictate how we think or feel. God, we would look to you and be encouraged and have courage even when it seems life is overwhelming. So God, help us in this day. Help us in this moment. God, choose to look to you. Choose to focus upon you. Choose to seek after you rather than let our heart be troubled. And let our minds focus on the things that would bring us down. would block us from you, would draw us away from you, would discourage us. God, help us focus on your truth. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and I ask that you'd open my heart and my mind and help me rightly divide your word and be an encourager to your people. And God, be a call to those who don't know you so that they could know the one who loves them so much through the forgiveness of sin. God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we desperately need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So notice as David is writing this psalm, he gets to a section there and he begins to recount. And instead of focusing on how bad things are, instead of focusing on all the many people who are trying to kill him and the hardships that are facing him, he begins to remind himself to focus on the positive, focus on the things that are true, the things that are good, the things that are positive and wonderful. Focus on God. So he says in verse 9, he says, I have proclaimed in the past. It has been my character. It has been my nature. It has been my practice to proclaim the greatness of God in the congregation. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. I have declared the goodness of God. I've been a witness to the great righteousness of our great God. And he says, in the past, I've focused on that. That's been the words from my mouth. That's been the desire of my heart to exalt God. So he says, not only have I done in the past, behold, I will not restrain my lips now. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what the difficulty is, I'm not going to change what I talk about. I'm not going to change how I view God and how I declare God. So he says, in the past, I've declared it. I've declared the righteousness of God, and I will not let my lips be restrained now. My circumstances aren't going to change my view of God. My circumstances aren't going to change my opinion of God. My circumstances aren't going to change my speaking of God. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You draw near to God. You trust God. And then you speak about God. See, the natural response for us when we get in trouble, when things go south, when problems arise and these great difficulties come up in our life, the easiest thing and the most common thing, the most natural thing we do is we begin to talk about how big our problem is. We begin to talk about how difficult things are. We begin to talk about all the negative aspects of what we're going through. We call that a pity party. We're really good at that. It's the natural response of our human condition. We focus on the negative, and we focus on the hardship. We focus on the things, and we begin to speak about those things. We begin to talk about those things, and then we begin to collect people around us that will talk about those things with us, and they'll continue to go over all the bad things, how terrible it is. Oh, I know it's terrible. I know it's just so bad, and it's so horrible. I can't believe you're having to go through this. I just don't know what you're going to do. I'll pray for you. And we begin to be negative, and we begin to gather people around us that are negative. And even well-meaning people will come and begin to bring a little confetti to our pity party. And we begin to just really focus on and wallow in the negativity of our situation and our circumstance. And God doesn't get glorified. We're not encouraged. We begin to be overwhelmed, and it begins to pile up, and it seems to be a lot bigger than it actually is. And as we focus on the negative aspects of what we're going through, those become more prevalent, and the greatness of our God becomes less and less prevalent in our life, in our heart, in our situation. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it stuff. I'm not talking about the power of positivity. But I am talking about that the fact that negativity will draw your focus, will draw your mind, will draw your heart away from the greatness and the goodness of God. When we begin to talk about things in a negative light, when we begin to focus on the negative, what begins to happen is we start thinking, okay, well, God, you're not doing all these things. All these promises you told me aren't happening, and this is where I am. This is what I'm doing, and we just start wallowing in that, and we start wallowing and facing and talking and living in that, and God is sitting back. When are you going to turn back to me? When are you going to start seeking after me? And it starts drawing us away from God. That negativity will always give birth to bitterness. The more and more we focus on the negative, the more and more we focus on the hurt, the more and more we talk about how bad things are, that's where we're planting seeds of bitterness. We become bitter towards people. We become bitter towards the church. We become bitter towards God. We become bitter towards the person that's involved in this situation, that we begin to see them as the problem rather than God as the solution. And negativity always produces bitterness, and bitterness always produces anger, and anger always produces hatred. And it's just a cycle that just feeds on itself. So if we're gonna honor God in our circumstances, if we're gonna face these things in such a way and see God do some amazing stuff, we've got to guard our heart against negativity. But how do you do that? Very simple. You start now practicing praise. The scripture says that God inhabits the praise of his people. If you're not focusing on the negative and there's really not anything good about your circumstance going on, what do you focus on? You focus on the goodness of God. You focus on the one that you serve, the one that has your heart, the one that has your soul, the one that has your life, the one that promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, the Redeemer who can redeem any situation and bring it for his glory, and turn what the world or people or the devil intended for harm, he can actually turn it to good. That's what we focus on. How do you do that? What's the secret? Well, if you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. How do you guard your heart against negativity? How do you voice your praise? Now, I'm not talking about just like many people do when you ask them, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed today. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I don't care what's going on. I'm blessed. And you are, but sometimes that just seems kind of cliche. It just seems like an automatic response rather than a heartfelt confession. Because you know that they're going through a bunch of mess, and it's like they're in denial. You know, my life's great, all's good, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No, you're not. Your family's falling apart. Everything's not good. But how do you turn or allow God to turn those things around? How do you let God change our heart and not focus on the negative? We can acknowledge that things are bad. That's not focusing on the negative. That's just simply announcing and pronouncing reality. Hey, this situation is terrible. I have no clue how I'm going to get through it. But I'm so thankful that God is guiding me through it. I'm so thankful that God is present. I'm so thankful that God is able to redeem even this. See, we can acknowledge that it's bad as long as in the acknowledgement of the bad circumstances that we have a good God. That we have a God who's present, a God who is capable, a God who is faithful, a God who is loving and kind. He is always going to be there for us. Acknowledging that it's bad is not negative. It's just truth. It's bad. I don't like it. I don't want to be here. But I'm trusting my God to make something good out of this, to bring glory to his name. So how do we do that? Philippians chapter 4 gives us a great, great word. For how do you guard your heart and mind against negativity? How do you stay focused on the goodness of God when everything else is bad? Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, who is experiencing oppression, who is experiencing persecution, who is struggling with following God and the temptation to give up and the hardships with their families because they will not renounce Jesus. The Roman government is persecuting them. The Jews are persecuting them. The other Gentiles who have not accepted Christ are persecuting them. They feel like they're isolated and everything that's happening to them is beyond their control and beyond their ability, and it's bad. But listen to what Paul tells them to focus on. Look, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." It says, look, I don't care what your circumstances are, you still got a lot to rejoice about. The creator of the world loves you. The creator of the world is walking through this with you. The creator of the world, the one who has the cattle on 1,000 hills and owns 1,000 hills with them, all of that he has is at your disposal. Everything that God is available to you. You have much to rejoice about. So Paul's telling them, rejoice in the Lord. He's not telling them to rejoice in their circumstances. He's not telling them to rejoice in their hurt. Not telling them to rejoice in the pain that they're facing and the hardship they're facing. Don't rejoice in the circumstances, but you can and should and must rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't matter what our circumstances, don't matter how hurt we become, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And he says it a second time for emphasis. Again, I say, rejoice. See, that should be the countenance. That should be the default setting for the heart of God's people. We should be a people who rejoice, a people who have joy in the midst of hurt and trouble. See, that's the greatest testimony we have. I'm not talking about a fake, oh, I'm blessed. But a true heart of praise, a true heart of joy, because, yeah, my circumstances are bad. Yeah, this relationship is bad. Yeah, my children are breaking my heart, but I have a God who is able. I have a God who loves me. I have a God who is going to guide me. I have a God who is going to teach me how to rejoice in the midst of this and see his glory in a way I'd never see it before. I can rejoice even in this because the God I serve. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, what happens when we let the joy of the Lord take root in our heart, and the joy of the Lord overcome our brokenness and walk us through our brokenness? He says in verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. You know what happens when we start focusing on the negative things and we don't guard our heart against negativity? We become sour, we become bitter, we become frustrated, we become angry. And man, we just are not a person that people want to be around. We are no longer a witness for the Lord. We're beat down, beat up, and we're just like the rest of the world. We're like those who Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we should mourn, but we should not mourn as those who have no hope. We become hopeless like the rest of the world. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope things work out, and man, I'm just going to do this. And we wind up making things worse. There's no difference when we focus on the negative, when we wallow in the negative, and we refuse to rejoice in the Lord. We refuse to draw near to God and to trust God and then to proclaim His praise and to proclaim His goodness. When we do that, we lose our witness. You know that people aren't really concerned about how faithful you are to God when things are going good. It's when your life begins to fall apart, when circumstances become overwhelming, when your marriage is on the rocks, when things are struggling. How do you respond then is what people care about. That's where people begin to take notice when it seems like you're going through the same stuff they are, but you've got a whole different countenance than they do. Rather than being bitter and angry, rather than being frustrated and so worried and wringing our hands and I just don't know what to do, we have a confidence that our God is present. And our God is going to take care of it. God is going to work this for our good and His glory. God can redeem even this. So my hope is in the one true and the living God who is present in my heart, who is walking through this with me. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men because the Lord is near. He's not far away. He's not unconcerned. He's right in the middle of this mess with you. So we can rejoice in the Lord because He is here and He's going to do what He said He would do. We just need to trust Him. We need to follow Him. We need to turn and draw near to Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men see your gentle spirit, for the Lord is near. Then he goes on, okay, how do we do that? He gives another command. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Any of you ever experience any anxiety? Any just wringing of your hands and just, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, and begin to be overwhelmed by those feelings? Paul says, look, when you're focusing on God, when you're not focusing on the negative, you're rejoicing in the Lord. He says, look, anxiety becomes less and less. It says, be anxious for nothing. As Christians, we should not be wringing our hands. We should not be fretting. We should not be overwhelmed by the circumstances of this world or the things that are going on. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things that everybody else worries about, God will provide for you. That whole section of chapter 6, he's talking about how do you not be anxious? How do you not experience anxiety? Trust the Lord. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the goodness and the greatness of our God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious in nothing, but through prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer. Hey, lift it up to the Lord. Tell Him the truth. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. This is the hurt. This is the trouble. This is this thing that's overwhelming me, God. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to carry this alone. Thankful. Not thankful for the circumstance. Not thankful for the pain. Not thankful for the hurt. But thankful that God is there with you. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to carry this load for you. All you got to do is just walk with me. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to guide you through this. I'm going to be here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can rejoice in the Lord, and we should not let our anxiety overwhelm us, but always, always looking to God, lifting it up, being thankful that He's here, and make our request known to God. Tell Him what you're struggling with. Tell Him what your hurt is. Tell Him your pain. Tell Him your sorrow. But be thankful that He's there and He is able. And look what happens when we do that. When we give up on the negative, we start focusing on the goodness of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the person of God, the character of God. When we begin to focus on those things, He says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. How do you not focus on the negative? How do you guard your heart against the negative? You focus on the goodness, the presence, the dependability of God. You focus on Him. Tell Him your problems. Tell Him your struggles. Tell Him your hurts. Tell Him what you're feeling. But then rejoice that He's got this. And rejoice in the promise that He will work all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Even these bad things, even the hardship, even the struggles, even the hurts, these things that can so easily overwhelm us, God can redeem these for our good and His glory if we're called according to His purpose and we love Him. We're drawing near to Him. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the presence and the person of God. And then the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. You want to get people's attention? You want people to take notice of your faith? You want people to believe what you say about God? Let the peace of God fill your heart and your mind. Guard your heart and your mind against negativity. Guard your heart and your mind against worry and anxiety. You face the hardest things of life with a full knowledge that God is with you, praising Him, lifting up His standard, lifting up His righteousness, declaring His praise among the congregation, declaring His praise among the people. Yeah, things are bad, but God has got this. I'm trusting Him. I'm walking with Him. I know He's going to be He's going to work things out for His glory, and that's the greatest thing that could happen. Be confessing His greatness. Be confessing your praise of God, your dependence upon God, the steadfastness and the faithfulness of God. That's what guards your heart and your mind from negativity. That's what guards your heart from anxiety. Focus on those things. Well, what Paul begins to list out some things next. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, what are the things we focus on? What is it that we need to let our mind and our heart dwell upon when things are going so bad? How can we guard against that negativity? How can the peace of God be ours? focus on whatever is true. Okay, what's true? The world will tell you, well, what's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. Truth is relative. No, Jesus told us. Remember in John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, when Jesus was praying over his disciples right before his crucifixion, and he was praying not only for them, that would but those who would believe because of their witness, us. He prayed and he asked God, God, sanctify them in truth. God, sanctify them, set them apart in truth, guard them in truth. And okay, well, what's truth? He answered that next. Your word is truth. When he says, whatever is true, focus on that. What do you focus on? The truth of God's word, the truth of who God is, what this Bible says about God's character, God's purpose, God's faithfulness, God's presence. All of this is what you need to focus on. Don't let your heart get out here on the things that are negative and all the things that are unknown and all the things that are hurtful and all the things that other people are saying. Don't worry about those. Don't focus on those. He said, look, focus on what is true. What's true? God's word. What's true? Who God says you are in his word. You're not useless. You're not ugly. You're not stupid. You're not inept. You're not unable. You're not defeated. You are a child of the living God who can boldly come to the throne of grace because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are loved. You are sought after. You are pursued. You are important to God. You are exactly who God created you to be. Focus on the truth of God's word. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever brings honor to God, whatever brings honor to the name of the Lord, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Nothing negative in that whole list. To guard our hearts and our mind, to let the peace of God guard our heart and our mind from negativity, guard our heart and our mind from feeling overwhelmed and inept and incapable. He says, look, focus on the things that are true, the things that are honorable, the things that are lovely, the things of God, those things that are pure. Focus on the Word of God, the character of God, the presence of God. Focus on these. Let your mind, it's a decision. It doesn't happen automatically. Our default positions as human is to focus on the negative. But he says, choose to focus on whatever is true, pure, lovely, honorable, good, and excellent. All of those things describe God. Choose to focus on God. Choose to seek God. Not only are we to not be anxious, to pray, and to seek the Lord. Not only are we to focus on the things of God, but the next verse, I believe it's verse 9, tells us to put into practice the things that we know. See, a lot of us can recite Scripture. A lot of us can recite the good things and the words of God and the character of God. He says, but look, put these things into practice. Verse 9 says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Start putting into practice what you know to be true. That's what we talked about last week, trusting God, putting the things into practice that we already know. Notice when we start praying and thinking on God and we start thinking about the presence, the power, the character of God, it guards our heart and our mind, and the peace of God guards us. But here, when we begin to practice this, he says the God of peace. Not just the peace of God, but God Himself will be with you. When we focus on Him, When we choose not to be anxious, we choose to focus on the things of God, and we focus on the goodness of God, the person of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the truth of God. When we start focusing on all those things, and then we start putting into practice the things that we know. We start praying. We start studying. We start living in honor of God. We start forgiving. We start acting of who we are rather than what our circumstances say about us. It says, then not only will the peace of God be with you, but the God of peace will be with you. We guard our hearts from negativity by walking in the presence, the power of God. Plain and simple. Understanding that, look, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have a long-range plan. I don't have to have all the steps of how this is going to work out. I don't even have to know how it's going to work out, because I know the one who has promised to never leave me nor forsake me, who has promised to work all things together for my good if I love him and seek after him. If I will just focus on the Word of God and just focus upon him, trust that he is going to guide my steps, trust him, and he will make my way straight, then anxiety will begin to disappear. Negativity will be overcome by truth. And our witness will have merit. Our words will have weight. Our declaration will be dependable, because God, people will see God at work in our life. Not only the peace of God, but the God of peace is guiding me through this. We are more than conquerors when we're in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that everything is going to work out like we want it to, and praise God it doesn't. But it will work out for His glory and our good. We can look back at the end of it, and we're going to talk about this next week. We can look back at the end of it and say, I saw God in the middle of all of it. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You guard your heart against negativity. You guard your heart by focusing on who God is, what God says is true, His power and His presence in your life. Yeah, it's more than you can handle, but it's never more than He can handle. He'll lead you to some places where you are flat on your back and you are absolutely without a clue. But He'll never leave you there. He'll never forsake you there. He will demonstrate His power and His might if you'll let Him and trust Him. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Look to God. Live for God. Seek His glory above everything else. And He will be faithful. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told you when I first started this series is the truths I'm going to tell you, the things that we're talking about are for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said in that passage in verse 8. It says, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, the promises of God's Word are not yours until you are God's. Now, we can hope for God's general grace, this rain that falls on the just and the unjust, and how He demonstrates His love for us even when we don't love Him, and He is gracious and merciful. But the promises of God are not ours unless we're His. The only way we can be His is to submit our heart and our life, surrender everything we are to Him, and accept this gift of salvation. Hide our life in Christ Jesus. Die to ourselves and take up a cross daily. And follow Him through this life. Living for His glory, not ours. That happens when we confess our need, confess our sin, submit our life to Him in Jesus Christ, and ask Him take us, to lead us, to use us for His glory for the rest of our days. See, that's the only way the promises of God are yours. That's the only way you can do away with anxiety. That's the only way you can boldly approach His throne of grace. That's the only way you can know His power and His might. But the good news is, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A broken and contrite heart He will not deny. But you've got to come to die to yourself. Those of us who are saved, I want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. I know there's a lot of you that things are going pretty well. Life's okay right now. Give it a little while. It'll get bad. Trouble's going to come. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. It's not if, it's when. So Christians, I want to ask you, how are you facing this thing that's bigger than you? Are you drawing near to God? Are you trusting Him by putting into practice those things you already know? Are you dwelling on the negative, or are you dwelling on who God is and the truth of His Word? Praising Him in the middle, talking up His goodness, talking up His presence, talking up His glory in the middle of the most difficult thing you've ever faced. Are you letting Him be glorified, trusting that He's going to do what's right? I want to encourage you. That will change everything about what you're going through. It'll change your perspective on it all. If you're here and you're not going through anything, everything's going good right now. What about you? Start practicing. Start practicing. Practice praise. Practice dwelling in the presence of God. Practice reciting the goodness, the truth, dwelling on those things that are true and honorable and lovely and excellent and worthy of praise. Practice. So when the hardship comes, it's already natural. It's second nature. It's who we are. It's what we do. God will be glorified. We'll be changed. And the world will take notice. God is good. Let's stand. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing and just have the opportunity for you to respond. Maybe you want to come and pray, have me pray with you. I'm nothing special, but I'd love to pray with you about whatever you've got going on, or come to the altar and just give it to the Lord. Maybe this is where you just need to demonstrate an outward expression of you giving things to God and just letting it be an outward expression of what's going on in your heart. Whatever it is you need to do, where you need to come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, tell us what's going on there. I'd love to hear it. Just you respond to God as we pray. God, we thank you so much for your great love. Thank you for your power and your might. Thank you for the promises of your word that are absolutely true. God, thank you for your faithfulness. And God, thank you for the evidence of Scripture, evidence of history, but God, also evidence in our own lives that your word is trustworthy. You are trustworthy. So God, I pray that Lord, when that time comes and life overwhelms us, God, we will just let it pour out onto you. We'll trust you. We'll honor you and glorify you, even in the midst of our hurt and our pain. God, we'll acknowledge the truth, but we will also exalt you and focus on you. Lord, I pray you do your work in our hearts and our lives today that only you can do. Draw us to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.